now call the next case, U.S. v. Carr, 10-3202.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is David Karp, and I represent the appellant Barry Carr. Mr. Carr robbed a gas station in Madison, Wisconsin, a convenience store, and got away with $54. He was charged and eventually convicted under the Hobbs Act. It was not appropriate to charge him and convict him under the Hobbs Act. This was a single gas station. Now, there is certainly precedent in this circuit that says that you can aggregate businesses, you can aggregate acts, in order to create a federal nexus. However, this was one single robbery. So unlike the situation that the court faced in Griffin or Sutton, this is a single robbery. So this implicates certainly issues.
I understand the precedent is against you, and I understand the argument. But what you're asking us to do is to not only reverse all the precedent, but to draw some kind of line. What one robbery is not enough, one robbery that's this small is not enough. I mean, what is it that we would do if we were inclined to go your way?
Judge Gottschall, I'm not asking you to overrule Sutton. I'm not asking you to overrule Griffin. I think these cases can be distinguished on their facts because we have a single robbery. Clearly, the United States Supreme Court has announced in Lopez and Morrison that there are outer boundaries to the aggregation. And certainly the court can find a federal nexus with a de minimis showing, but how much can you aggregate when there's a single robbery of a single store like this? And I think the answer is that you can't and you shouldn't.
Isn't the amount that he got just a matter of bad luck on his part? He hit it at the wrong time. There wasn't that much cash around.
Well, you know, I don't know why anybody would rob a convenience store, Judge Tinder, so it makes no sense to me. But generally, people know that these convenience stores are very limited in the amount of cash they keep on hand. And I think it just points to I don't think it's the intention of the defendant that's at issue here, because the law really doesn't care whether or not he intended to interfere with interstate commerce. I think the issue goes to, well, all right, what are the limits then? How minimal is minimal? If he had stole a penny, would that have been a sufficient depletion of assets that we're going to find that there's proper prosecution under the Hobbs Act? So the argument is actually very simple. When you've got this small an amount, a single robbery from a single business, there should not be even the de minimis finding.
Would we have to look at every case and decide if it was enough, if he got enough cash or not?
Well,
I mean, if he got $500 in this robbery, would that be enough?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There certainly seems to be case law where more than this has been taken, and that seems to implicate the federal nexus. But there has to be a boundary, and I think that's what Lopez and Morrison say. So where is the boundary? And I think part of the boundary goes to the amount taken, and part of the boundary goes to the nature of the acts. So are these a string of robberies?
So you get a pass if it's a one-time thing.
Well, Judge Williams, the state authorities are thoroughly capable of dealing with this kind of offense, and why not leave to the states to be the laboratories of human conduct? The federal system is overburdened already. We don't need to burden the federal court system with these kind of cases.
So you need to go make this argument to Congress, maybe.
I don't think my complaint is with Congress, Your Honor. I think it's with this specific prosecution. I can reserve the rest of my time.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Rumbelow?
Good Good morning, Your Honors. Rita Rumbelow for the United States. Mr. Karp, I represented the United States below. Mr. Karp essentially is asking this court to interfere with the decision-making process that every United States Attorney's Office in the country enjoys, and that is which cases to bring in front of the federal grand jury. We have that right under 1951. We just had to prove the de minimis effect. We did that in this case. It is a valid exercise of federal prosecutorial decision-making process. We coupled it with the 924C charge. Mr. Carr is a multi-convicted felon. You know,
why didn't you allege in your indictment the sale of gasoline at that location? That had to be an interstate activity, I would think.
It is, but we don't have to allege it in the indictment.
You don't have to, but it would have been a good allegation, wouldn't it?
Well, ultimately, at the plea hearing, we didn't rely on the sale of gasoline. We focused more on the products that the business purchases and sells, like Coca-Cola, food products. Because every convenience store has hundreds and hundreds of different types of products that it is purchasing and receiving from out of state.
But if they sell gas, it comes from out of state, doesn't it?
It does. Excuse me, I woke up with a very bad cold this morning. Essentially, Your Honor, the bottom line, I rely on my agents, and when they approach the businesses and say, what can you give me to prove this interstate nexus element, and the business, you know, refers to their Illinois supplier more quickly. This was during, memory serves me correct, I do a lot of Hobbs Act cases, so I may be confusing this with another case, but I know during one of my cases, it was a BP, and this was a BP stop and go, and during the whole Gulf oil spill, I couldn't get anybody from BP to give me the requisite records for interstate nexus. So that's just an example. So then the agents move on and go, you know, to the next logical step, which is, again, all of the goods that the convenience stores have transported for sale from surrounding states. And so sometimes we may have a verbal indication from the business for purposes of grand jury for probable cause, but I may not have already had those documents to allege them in the indictment. But as this court acknowledged, I'm sorry, I really did wake up quite ill this morning. It's astounding. I was fine yesterday. Sorry. that Mr. Karp's argument really is a perennial loser. Unless the court has any other questions, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Have a seat. We hope you get well and get home quickly. Mr. Karp, anything else? 1 minute.
Thank you. I'm not seeking to interfere with prosecutorial discretion. However, there's another prosecutorial body, which is the state body. So, in fact, taking it away from the state prosecutors is the issue. And the state has some rights there, too. And I think that, Judge Tinder, you pointed out well that the indictment alleges food and drink, which are available in Wisconsin, and there's no showing by the government that the convenience store couldn't resupply itself with food and drink made in Wisconsin.
All right, thank you very much. And you were appointed, Mr. Karp?
I was.
Is that right? Well, we thank you for your service to your client, for your diligence in presenting his argument. We thank you as well, counsel. Safe travels back to both of you.